Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word. Walk in the Spirit is the audio outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we all will learn to walk in the Spirit.
Verses 1 through 5, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking in lies and hypocrisies, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word and of God and prayer. Let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning. Lord, we thank you and praise you for this time we have together, Lord. We pray for those who are able to join us this morning for whatever cause, Lord. I think about the many illnesses I know many are suffering, Lord. Those who are on travel, Lord. Those who are away. I pray you just keep them all safe, Lord, and that you'd bring us all back together as a family, Lord, and that you would just help us to continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Savior, our Lord God Almighty, your precious Son, Jesus. And Lord, I pray in particular this morning, Lord, that you remove your spirit, remove your servant and allow your spirit to teach, Lord. These are your words. This is your perfect word, Lord. And I pray that you would just do it justice, Lord, by speaking now. We just thank you and praise you for this and pray all these things in our precious Lord, Savior, God Almighty's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. If there is one thing we are good at in America, it's being influenced by the media sources we listen to. If you think that's not true, then ask yourself these questions real quickly with me, if you would. And by the way, these questions are not based just upon the actual taste, but I'm talking about the actual health benefits. So here's some questions for you. Is coffee good for your health? I like that. Is coconut oil good or bad for you? Is trans fat good for you or bad for you? How about this one? How about eggs? Are eggs good for you? Or is it only the egg whites that are good for you? Or is it only the yolks that are good for you? Or can we eat the whole thing? See, I heard some of you responding this morning. I appreciate that. But I'm willing to bet that there's some of you who are sitting here going, actually, no, I don't think. I just heard a study where they said coconut oil isn't good for you. And I read an article one time that told me that coffee was bad for you. And I remember when trans fat was, we shouldn't have trans fat, and all the restaurants advertised, we're not having trans fat. And now they're putting the trans fat back in and all these things like that. Why? Because we're influenced, aren't we? We're influenced in this nation by our media sources, the people who should know, who are telling us, we get influenced by those things. And by the way, I'm not saying we're wrong to do so, but the point of that matter is this, is that if we go around and we allow ourselves to be influenced by the wrong sources, we will get misinformation or we'll get misdirected in the things that are truth. Even in my lifetime, I remember watching in particular, I'll pick on eggs for a minute here. I remember eggs were like the superfood when I was a kid. You should have eggs every morning to be healthy. Matter of fact, if you could add eggs into your meals more often, you'd be better off. And then I remember when eggs all of a sudden became bad, they were causing everybody's heart disease and all these things like this. So quit eating eggs. Well, it's not really the eggs. It's only the yellow, the yolk of the egg. So start just eating egg whites. And you could even go to restaurants and order just egg whites. And then they started to say, you know what? The whites were bad. You need to eat just the yolks. I mean, I know people to this day who actually only eat the yolks of the egg. Why? Because it's the highest in protein and that's the best for you. And then you have people like me who are like, I just like eggs. So I'm going to eat the whole thing. Boiled, fried, scrambled, I don't care. Just give it to me. Minus jalapenos, please. That's for those of us who went camping. All right? But nonetheless, okay, but the truth of the matter is this, is we get so influenced, and the difficulty we have, brothers and sisters, is this, is that we got to be careful as believers because there are those who are out there who, now I'm not picking on our scientific field in particular, although I will have to say, it's always the scientists who have discovered what's bad for us and what's good for us, isn't it? And what I find interesting about that is, you know what the word science literally means? With knowledge. So apparently knowledge changes. Apparently their understanding or truth, if I can put it that way, fact changes according to the scientific world because it's a fact that coffee is not good for you. Well, now we know what the fact that coffee is good for you. And I can tell you guys standing up here this morning, coffee is very good for you. Because there's a good chance that I wouldn't be standing up here this morning without coffee. But the point of the matter is this, is that we have to recognize that there are, depending on the source we're looking at, it could be a good source or a bad source. I'm going to be really honest with you. When it comes to our food, right? Now, I will say there are certain scientific things that I have a tendency to believe, okay? But for the most part, when it comes to our food, I think one of the mistakes we make is who has got the biggest or the deepest pockets right now in Washington to influence those who are going to tell us what we should and shouldn't eat. That's the truth, right? Because I remember when we didn't grow corn, we had too much corn, and now we're trying to put corn back into everything. And by the way, my wife had the corn allergy, and corn is in everything. I mean, whether we're talking anytime you see the word dextrose, multidextrose, dextrin. I know these things because I go shopping sometimes. And so you run into those things, you know you're talking about corn. And then sometimes you get real sneaky, right? And they'll say things like modified corn, corn starch. How about this? Corn syrup. You know, made with corn products. And then you'll have one that says corn syrup and maltodextrose. That's twice the amount of corn. Now, I'm telling you all this because we got to be careful when it comes to, in particular, when it comes to the Word of God and those who are teaching us, when it comes to those who are influencing our minds, that we're listening to those who are teaching, if I can put it to you this way, with fact. With fact. Not just what makes us feel good about ourselves. Because I'm going to be really honest with you. There's one thing the Word of God has done in my life. It has cut off a lot of things that I actually found enjoyable, at least I thought I found enjoyable in my life. It's trimmed the fat off, if I can put it to you that way. I would love to be able to be one of those people who could just read the Word of God and pick out the things I like and stick with those ones. I mean, because wouldn't it be just much easier? Let's just be honest. I could watch whatever I wanted to watch. I could eat, drink, do whatever I wanted to do, as long as I just picked out the verses of the Bible, the parts of the Bible that I agree with and I like. But when it comes to with fact and it comes to the Word of God, we have to be careful because as it says there at the beginning of our text this morning, it says there, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now last week we talked about the departing of the faith. This week I want to talk about being sanctified by God, if I can put it to you this way. Because when we think about what we're doing and what our life is about, we should be getting sanctified by God. And it says there that they're gonna give heed to seducing spirits. When we talked last week, we discovered the word seducing, the plainos in the Greeks, simply means those who would mislead or deceive us. Those who would misdirect, mislead. And I want to talk about seducing spirits that are running rampant throughout today, and it comes in the form of so-called sciences, most likely. And when I say scientists, I'm not just talking about those who are sitting in the labs with their little, you know, beakers and boiling things. And that I'm only picking up on the stuff I remember from, like, you know, seventh grade science. Okay, so I don't know what else they do when they go past that point. But you know, I'm talking about all the different sciences. How about the psychological or the mental sciences? And all the sciences that I honestly believe are running rampant and deceiving people out there today. Now, I'm not saying that you can't be a scientist, that you can't be a counselor, a psychiatrist, and you can't do good. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is we as believers need to be aware that there's also seducing spirits out there, those who would mislead and deceive us. And this is an interesting thing when we look at this, because when we look at this, we come together and we start to discover what these seducing spirits are like. We're going to talk about some of the things they're going to go after this morning, and we're going to talk about how the world, or in particular even somewhat to a certain extent, the church has been seduced by these spirits this day. But this group will go on, as it says there in verse 2, that they're going to speak lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, they're going to do things and they're not even going to be bothered by them. They're not even going to be bothered by them. They're going to speak lies, knowing their lies. They're going to speak hypocrisies. Do as I say, not as I do. How long did we hear the doctors tell people not to smoke? Now, I agree, don't smoke. I'm not here promoting smoking. Don't go out and start smoking. But those same doctors would be gone, so would be late for their appointment all the time. Why? Because they're outside having a cigarette. Speaking hypocrisies. If it's that, and I'm not saying smoking is not bad for our health, guys. I'm not. Don't take the wrong message away from what I'm saying right now. But the point is this: they're speaking hypocrisies. How many men have stood before you and told you, "Don't do this," but in their same life are out there doing those exact same things? They're speaking hypocrisies and lies, and they don't even have a conscience about it. They're like, "Well, it doesn't really matter," you know. And they'll use great excuses like, "Well, I'm mature enough to handle these things." Lies, lies. They're lying even unto themselves. But they'll be speaking lies and possibly not having a conscience about it. And then it gets into, what are the things they're going to speak to us about in particular? Now, we see somewhere, we talked last week about departing the faith after these seducing spirits and the doctrines of the devil. But what are some of the doctrines and the things they're really going to go after? What are the things that are going to get attacked, if I can put it to you that way? We read this and we take it on, and we should, by the way. There's many ways we can take this, but we begin with the surface. So the first thing we run into there in verse 3 is forbidding to marry. Forbidding to marry, says there in verse 3. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth. Forbidding. This means to prevent marriage. Now we can look at this doctrine in two different ways. We can look at it in the context of the actual accounts like the Catholic Church and so on, churches like that which would forbid their priests and their nuns to marry. Would say you shouldn't marry. Which I find an interesting doctrine in light of the fact that the text that this text literally comes on the heels of chapter 3, which we were to turn back to, and we read in verse 1, it says, "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth good work. And what should a bishop be? A bishop should be blameless and the husband of one wife." Okay, so we can put that one away pretty quickly, can't we? So this idea of forbidding to marry, this idea of preventing marriage, saying that they shouldn't be married, we only need back look back right before this text, and this is one of the places that we write none of these things. I don't know how they can ignore these things, but we can dismiss that. But looking back at it again, it says this. It says in verse 3, it says, "Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to receive with thanksgiving with them which believe and know the truth." I want to look at this another way about this forbidding to marry. Because the idea of forbidding means to stand in opposition to or to oppose, if I can put it to you that way. That's what to forbid somebody from doing something is, isn't it? If I forbid you to do something, I say to my son, I forbid you to go over to so-and-so's house, I am standing in direct opposition to him being able to do that. Isn't that what I'm doing? And there is a group out there right now who are forbidding to marry. They're standing in direct opposition to marriage. And what I mean by that is this, is when they directly attack the idea of marriage. Marriage isn't a big deal. You don't have to be married to be in love. You don't have to be married to be committed. You don't have to be married and so on and so forth. And you've heard all sorts of talking heads tell you these things, haven't they? And they'll even try to sometimes get the biblical accounts, right? Well, did Adam and Eve have a marriage ceremony? Yes. Guess who performed it? God. They stood before God and God brought them together. What God hath joined, let no man put asunder. So should I have to have a marriage ceremony? Yes. Now, does it necessarily have to be? I mean, God hopefully is presiding over your marriage. Don't get me wrong. But the truth of the matter is that we have to recognize, brothers and sisters, is that there's an attack on marriage nowadays. You don't have to be married. It's not a big deal as long as you're in love. Now, there are people, I will stand up here and tell you today, there are people I know who have never gotten married and have lived together for longer than I've lived with my own wife. And they act just as much like a husband and wife, but we're not going to be bound by society's rules about marriage. Well, the truth of the matter is what they're saying, they're not going to be bound by God. That's what they're saying. See, there's a difference when you actually go to a married, and you go and you get married. You're saying, I am now setting myself aside, wholly devoted unto God and my spouse. Period. No others. Those are the ones that later on in life will practice what, unfortunately, and I apologize if there's some younger people in here who may not understand some of these terms. I'm not going to go down the road too far with them this morning. But they'll practice things like nowadays the popular thing is open marriages. Right? Meaning, what is an open marriage? It means, well, we're going to get married because we want the benefit of being married and get all the tax benefits and stuff like that, but we can have any partner we want to have. They're forbidding to marry. They are seducing spirits. They attack on marriage. Why do they attack a marriage so much? Because it's the very foundation upon which families are built, aside from the Lord God, right? I mean, that's where a family starts, Lord willing, if it's starting correctly, it's in a marriage. Now, I'm not saying you can't be a family if you're not married, all right? But what I'm telling you is this, is that that's why the enemy is so opposed to marriage and why he'll get those seducing spirits out there who are going to attack marriages and stand in opposition to marriage. Because if he can destroy the homes, he can destroy the families, and he can destroy the faith. That's the point. Matter of fact, if you remember this account, this is a new idea, this whole new open thing, it's not a big deal, you don't have to be married, just have whoever you want, sleep with whoever you want, be with whoever you want. Is this a new idea? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. And when we get there, let's read verses 13 through 18. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 13 through 18. It says, a foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple, and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house, on the seat of the high place of the city, to call passengers who go right on their way. Whoso is simple, let him turn hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. This is talking about a promiscuous woman. What's interesting to me about this account here in particular is because this woman not only is promiscuous, but this woman is one who would sit there and actually not necessarily even get paid for this service. It doesn't ever say in there that she, but we could say maybe she did. But she stands there, and what does she say? She says, whosoever sitteth simple, that means to be dumb. That's really not honestly what that means. Whoever basically is not non-thinker, let him turn in hither, and as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. In other words, here's what she's saying. She's saying to the men who are passing by, hey, come on in. Nobody else is going to know about it. It's not a big deal. It's kind of that idea of practicing an open marriage, or if I can put it this way, multiple sexual partners. It's not a big deal. Stolen waters are sweet. Isn't it interesting she calls it stolen, by the way? I find that so enlightening that the Lord says stolen waters. Because here's the truth of the matter. The minute you have sexual intercourse with anybody who is not your spouse, you stole. That's what it says. You stole. I didn't write this, right? This is the Lord. You stole. Who did you steal from? Well, perhaps you're a young person and you're in your teens and you're like, well, I'm just exploring and want to know. Yeah, whatever, you're stealing. That's what you're doing. You're taking from what it belongs to somebody else. Now, you would get mad if you came in this morning and I had a huge gift sitting right up here all wrapped up with your name written on it. And I said, oh, I want whatever's in there. And I took it. You'd get a little upset. If you went down on Christmas morning and looked under the tree and you saw your name on a gift and somebody else opened it up and put it on, or if it was clothes or jewelry or something like that, or they started playing with it, if it was a toy, you'd get upset. I mean, we get that concept. But for some reason, when it comes to our bodies, we don't get that concept. See, you're not only stealing from whoever that person belongs to, you're stealing from whoever you belong to. Now, I'm gonna go down a road here for a second here, and I hope you guys will just bear with me for 1 second here. I've been having a conversation a lot lately about this idea of dating, okay? And we used to call dating courting. I hate the fact that we changed the wording, I'll be honest with you. Okay, dating used to be courting. Nowadays, and I asked, well, what's the difference between dating and courting? And what's amazing, because in the conversations that I've had about this, and I've had many of them lately, and the conversation I've had, dating sounds just like courting. The only difference is they're holding themselves exclusively to. Why? Until you're ready to actually enter into the marriage covenant, there's no reason to be exclusive in your dating life. I'm being brutally honest with you. Until you're ready to enter into the marriage covenant and you're actually exploring a spouse, there's no reason why you would enter into that in exclusivity. It's stupid. Because let me tell you what happens. You begin to steal. Let me pick on something for you here for a second, right? One of the things that we don't think of the big deal nowadays that used to be a really big deal is kissing. Kissing's not a big deal. That doesn't really mean anything, does it? I can kiss anybody I want. It's not a big deal. It doesn't really matter. Well, I'll be honest with you, some of the most beautiful things I've ever witnessed is when the first kiss between a husband and a wife, the first kiss of their life, was at their wedding. And I'm not trying to pick on those of us who have kissed a bunch of people, okay? But if kissing is not a sexual thing, which is what we try to argue, isn't it? Kissing isn't sexual. But if kissing is not a sexual thing, then why don't I stand at the back door every Sunday morning and kiss every woman who comes by? Why don't I do it? It's not sexual, right? You guys would all be like, oh, that, why? Can you believe Chandra lets him do that? Well, I just say kissing isn't sexual. It doesn't really matter. So she should be able to kiss any guy she wants, right? See, now you're all getting nervous, huh? I'm not the first one leaving this morning. All the guys are going to line up first. He won't kiss me. All right? But if it's not a sexual thing, so what am I saying? You're stealing from them when you kiss somebody too. What? Yeah. Because it is a sexual thing. Let's be honest, it is. Sorry, but it is. There's no way to get around it. Because how many of us, once we're married, would get mad if our spouse kissed somebody else? Why? Why would you get mad? It doesn't matter. Ooh, I know. Getting a little tight, a little warm in here, isn't it? I get it. Okay? I get it. It matters. And it is sexual. All right. Stolen waters are sweet. Stolen. They're stolen. And I love the second part of that, right? What that which is eaten in secret is pleasant. Guys, I got bad news for you. There's no such thing as a secret in this world. Because there is always one who is watching. And if you think he takes pleasure in you stealing and eating that secret thing, guess what? You're wrong. Matter of fact, he goes on and says from that point, and by the way, I'm not just picking on the young people because they're not the only people who are single in here, are they? They're not. Older people, you know, some of you who might have been dating at one point or may date again, I'm going to tell you right now, don't be giving away that which belongs to somebody else. Yeah, the Lord may have somebody in your future and you're giving away something that doesn't belong to that person. Quit. But it doesn't matter. It's not a big deal. Yeah, actually, it does matter. Because let's be honest, when that relationship comes to an end for that person that you got too physical with, oh, we didn't do anything too bad. When that relationship ends, you're heartbroken. And you feel like you've gone through a divorce. Because you went way too far. What was too far? Exclusivity, physical nature, anything like that is too far. Well, how are we supposed to know if we're compatible? Well, this is the so-called sciences tell us, isn't it? Well, how do we know that we're compatible? Are you a male? Are you a female? You guys get it? You're compatible, trust me. The parts work, they'll go together. I'm not trying to be crude, guys, but that's the point, isn't it? But this is what the so-called scientists try to teach us. The so-called, it's not a big deal, it doesn't make a difference. It does make a difference. They forbid to marry. They stand in opposition to marriage. That is stupid. Why would I? And by the way, I'll be honest with you, the one area I would say I'm kind of proud of Hollywood is at least they're getting bold enough to say it. I've watched movies where they've actually had guys who have actually gotten on there and it's all about some guy who eventually falls in love, right? But up until that point, he's like, any woman I want, why would I ever want to have one when I could have a billion? I don't know, disease might be the first thing that jumps into my head. But, anyway. Forbidding to marry. They stand in opposition to marriage. And this is where the scientists have brought us. Guys, this is what society is bringing us. It no longer matters. It's not important. It's not a big deal. It's a huge deal, guys. It's one of the biggest deals you're ever going to deal with. They forbid to marry. Back in our text now. Enough about that. They forbid to marry. And one of the hardest things about it is when you figure out that, oh, this person is not a godly spouse, that's not the person the Lord would have for me, and you've gotten too physical, one of the hardest things to do is get rid of it, isn't it? To quit, to give up, to stop. And I say this, by the way, and I want to pause before I go into my next point. I say this having been one even as a Christian who experienced this. I told you guys how every young lady who used to come to the church of the doors at Calvary Chapel when Mike and I were younger, we thought every young lady who came to the church, that's the one God wants us to marry. Depending on which one of us saw it first, that's the one we'd get to go with the first. Right? I prayed God he was out of town when Chandra showed up. I'm just teasing. All right? But I had Christian sisters that I exchanged kisses with. I know. And I got to tell you, to this day, I feel horrible about it. I feel horrible about it. And it's funny because there's a funny difference in my relationship with them when I'm around them. There's a tension that shouldn't be there. And it's because they're sitting there thinking, what if? Because I'm such a catch, that's why I say that. What if? When this is what I needed. This is what I really needed. And I've told you before, when I finally said, God, I'm done. I'm done playing this game. I am not going to go out there and beat the bushes until some lady falls out who's ready to marry me. I gave up. And I let God bring my spouse to me. Anyway, it matters. It matters. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, we also read these words. It says, forbidding the marrying, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving with, of them which believe and know the truth. To abstain from meats. It's good for you to eat meat. That's what it says. Sorry. If you're a vegan in here, you're giving over to vegetables, I pray for you. I'm just teasing. But he says here, we should, they command to abstain from meat, which God hath created to be given with thanksgiving, be taken with thanksgiving. What he's saying, it's not that you should or should not eat meat, I'll be honest with you. That's not what this verse is really talking about, okay? But what it's talking about is this, is it's talking about where it all began, if I can put it to you this way. There are some things God says we shouldn't eat. And there are some things God said we can't eat. And whatever God said we can eat, feel free to eat. That's the point. And isn't that where it began in the garden? Where sin began with eating, wasn't it? Because the Lord said, you shouldn't eat. Do not eat. Actually, he didn't say you shouldn't eat. He said, do not eat. It was a direct command. But it looked pleasant. It looked good until they ate. I'm scared, deathly scared of snakes. The last thing you're going to see me doing is picking up a snake. Because I know it's deadly for me. But if you are not scared of snakes and you want to have a pet snake, I'll pray for you. I don't understand that. But I'm not going to hold it against you if you do. Just don't bring the snake around me if you care about me at all. All right? So if you, for example, when it comes to our food and it comes to abstaining from meats, if you know somebody who has is struggling with alcohol, what was the last thing you should probably do with them? Go to a bar? Or have them over at dinner and put alcohol out? I told you guys about how I went to a meeting one time at one church that we were going to, a home meeting one time, when there was a deacon there and the youth leader there, and one of the deacon's wife was complaining about she had a migraine, and so they pulled out the Jack Daniels and started doing shots. They had no idea that I had been released from alcohol. By the way, they shouldn't have been doing that, biblically speaking. That's a whole nother, we've done that already, haven't we? Okay? But they had no idea I'd been released from alcohol. They have no idea. Had I not been, had I been struggling in that sin, still had I been struggling with alcohol, what could that have done to me that night? If you know somebody struggling with, they're trying to lose some weight and stuff like that, then do me a favor. Don't offer to go to pie with them. If they suggest it, that's on them. But just be wise. But don't sit there and say, you can't, you shouldn't, and you won't. What the Lord says we can have, we can have. Now, I'm getting a little off course here. Now, I want to be clear here. I'm not passing judgment on any who would choose not to eat meat, as much as I am not praising those who do, as if somehow some were better than the others. But I will dispel the misstatements regarding this issue this morning. First, you have heard it said that we were not designed to eat meat. Isn't that what so-called scientists try to tell us sometimes? Those who would be the vegan scientists, if I can put it to you that way, we weren't designed to eat meat. I have one question for them. Explain my canine teeth. The canine, you know, the little sharp ones you have at the towards the front of your mouth, at least I hope you have them. They get duller over age, right? And if you do stupid things like chew on metal, okay? But that's a whole other story for another day, guys. I apologize. Anyway. But they get duller. What are the canine teeth for? Do you guys know what the canine teeth are for? Tearing flesh. That's why dogs have them too. That's why lions have them. It's for tearing flesh. In other words, meaning what? Eating meat. So we have canine teeth. But, well, they didn't eat meat in the garden. They didn't eat meat before the flood. Okay, I'm not going to argue that point. Never does it say they didn't. Never does it say they did. Okay? But I'm not going to argue that point. But I will take you to this one point right here. Turn to Genesis chapter 9, verse 1 through 3 with me. Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. It says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as that the green herb have I given you all things. If I can put it to you plainly, what he's saying there is, if it moves, kill it and eat it. That's what he says. I've given it to you for meat. If it moves, kill it and eat it. And by the way, bugs move too. Ooh, I know. Crazy, but you can eat them. All right? You can eat them. So that's what he's saying there. He's saying, hey, listen, if it moves, you can have it. And then he says, if it's a green herb, you can have it as well. So he's not opposed to any of those things. You can have any one of those things. Just take it and eat it. What he has given to us now, that's what he gave to us in Genesis. So did God design us to not eat meat? No, of course not. We are designed to eat meat. And he designed it that way in the garden so that if for whatever reason, between the garden and the flood, we didn't eat meat. So when the flood was done, we would have teeth so we could eat meat. And by the way, I am a meatitarian. It's not a meal if it doesn't have meat. I praise God for the fact that he gives me meat. And I also praise God for the fact that he gives me all the stuff that we weren't supposed to eat as Jews. Because bacon is probably one of the best things God has ever given the world. I mean, I'm not trying to be crude or anything, but 95% of the time when you taste something really good at a restaurant and you ask what's in this, they'll tell you bacon. One of the best burgers I've had in my life I had on Friday night at the men's retreat. And you know what it was? It was two meat patties stuffed with bacon. It was incredible. There was cheese in there too, but that didn't matter. So, the point is this. God designed us so we could eat that way. And you remember that he actually dealt with this, right? And he tells us that we should be able to eat. But he dealt with this with Peter. So jump with me to Acts chapter 10, if you would, right now. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And while you're turning, I want to read to you Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. It says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputings. I'm sorry. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eat despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, ye shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. So here's the point. Even the apostle understood that some would feel like they shouldn't eat meat, and while others would be willing to eat meat, and for conscience sake, some would not eat meat, but we who can eat meat shouldn't make those who feel like they don't eat meat like they're some sort of lesser thing. Likewise, those of you who think that you are something special because you don't eat meat, you should understand, first of all, that he says you're weak, but second of all, that he says there, you shouldn't dispute with us about whether or not we can eat meat either. And that is the point. But there are a couple points we must remember when we consider food. So I had to turn to Acts chapter 10, right? Acts chapter 10, verse 9 through 15. Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 15. You remember this, right? Peter had been struggling, okay? And with Gentiles in particular, what he's been struggling with, whether or not he's supposed to do the things of the Gentiles and whatever the case may be. So in Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 15, we read these words. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter said, "No, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again a second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." So Peter had this struggle, and Peter's basically like, "Lord, hey, I've never taken those things I wasn't supposed to take." And the Lord's saying, "Get up and eat it now." And by the way, remember when I mentioned bugs and you all kind of went, "Ew." Guess what creeping things means? Bugs. Now, I'm not saying go out, pick up all the ants and eat them, okay? But I'm saying that don't look at people who do eat those things. One of the things I love about some of the missionaries who come from other countries and they bring, like that one that brought the candied grasshoppers. That was incredible. They were actually pretty decent. Not something I want to eat on a regular basis, I'm not going to lie. All right? But it doesn't mean we can't. And here's the point. He's saying there, he says, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." And isn't that exactly what he's saying in our text back in 1 Timothy chapter 4? Back, go ahead and turn back there. And the rest of the time, I'm going to read to you a little bit here in the interest of time. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4, isn't that exactly what he's saying? That what God cleansed, thou call thou not common? Look at verse 4 of our text. 4 and 5, we'll read together real quickly. He says, "For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." What is his point? What is he really telling us there? He's saying, listen, don't call the things that God has given us now as bad. I'm sorry for those of you who have listened to me for years make fun of cheesecake. Okay? It's not good for me. But I guess it can be good for some of you. My point is this, is what God has cleansed, don't call bad. Don't call unclean. And don't let people judge you in what you do eat. Like somehow you're a lesser being because of what you do eat. I can't believe you would eat that. Do you know how bad that is for you? I have to laugh because one of the things that circles through the Christian church on a regular basis, and I've probably seen it in my short Christian career of, 20 plus years, I've seen it probably circle 4 or 5 times already. You're fat. Yeah, it's because I'm blessed. God provides a lot for me. I'm sorry he doesn't provide so much for you. I'm teasing, okay? My point is this, you're fat. You know what, we got to worry about our health. And then they'll go through these things like, well, you need to be, you're not even representing the Lord if you're overweight. What? You got to be kidding me, right? You know what the Bible says? It says body exercise profit little, but godliness profit wherewithal. What's the point? Why don't we focus on the spiritual man and allow God to deal with the rest of it? But so many of us worry about our physical appearance. What do you look like? What kind of shape are you in? By the way, round is a shape. I learned that in kindergarten. All right? But the point of the matter is this. We get all upset about, look how overweight and how fat you're getting. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with me? I like food. Pray for me that I might overcome it. But why do you make somebody feel like a lesser person? I can't stand it when I watch parents doing this to their children. I mean, I've watched parents over 20 years do this to their children. I mean, I know children who were like limited by everything they could have. And, you only get to have this. You can't have. And they're just, and why? And what ends up happening? I'll be honest, what ends up happening? I've watched it happen several times. That child finally gets old enough to get out on their own. You know what they do? Boom! Everything that I wasn't allowed to have, I'm going to have now. You think you're going to help their health then, mother, father, whoever you are? You think you're going to be encouraging to them then? When they get out on their own, they have their own money, and they're like, Twinkies are good. Ding-dongs are amazing. Why don't you just teach them to teach, like the Lord says, in moderation, do things in moderation. No, I'm not saying that I'm not overweight, guys. I know I'm overweight. As a matter of fact, I was looking in the mirror this morning, I thought to myself, boy, Brian, you're getting a little overweight. Suit's getting a little bit tighter. I'm considering swelling from the heat. All right? That's my excuse. I don't know what yours is. All right? But the truth of the matter is that we sit there and we get judgmental over people, what they're eating, what they're doing. Focus on the inward heart. Get them to love the Lord Jesus Christ and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to conform them into the image that he needed them to be. Not your image, his image. Because I'll be honest with you. I'll be brutally honest with you. Some of you run out there in your yoga pants and your workout gear and you run into some fat man, I guarantee you're going to have a hard time sharing the gospel with him. But me? I'm going to say, dude, let's go get some pie and talk. Likewise, I go to the gym, I'm not going to get that big buff guy with the 12-pack, right? Or I don't know if 12 is even possible. I don't know my anatomy, so. But, you know, the guy with the 6-pack, I know that's possible, all right? And by the way, I have a 6-pack. Mine's just insulated, okay? But get that guy at the 6-pack, I'm not going to be able to go up to him and be like, hey, you know what, dude, let me tell you. Why? Because he can be able to be like, oh, man, this guy is just nasty looking. Right? I mean, we get that, guys, and this is the point. And don't let them judge you in these things. And this is when it comes to these things, when it comes to the way we eat, what we eat, nothing to be refused. But with prayer and thanksgiving. And you guys have heard me pray before. Lord, I'm like, Lord, turn the Twinkie into a vegetable after it gets past the palate and I can not have to taste it. You know what I'm saying? God can do those things. My God's not small. Okay? But he said do it with prayer and thanksgiving. Receive it with thanksgiving. I am thankful for everything the Lord provides for me. Whatever it is. I've had people bring me food that, I told you guys growing up, we lived off of commodities in my grandma's house. You know, potted meat and canned peanut butter with the oil on top, which apparently is popular now, right? Back when I was a kid, it was like you knew you were poor if you had oil on top of your peanut butter. And it wasn't the third already and didn't have Peter Pan on the side. And the point of the matter is this, is, I thank God that he provided for me, even back then. Doesn't have to provide me the best. Just provide me what I need, Lord. I'm amazed how many products we've been able to find and had a relatively decent price for my wife who has allergies now. Praise God. There's still food being made out there that she can have. I'm getting a little off track. I apologize. We see the apostle, basically, the Lord tells us that we should be willing to what? Receive it with thanksgiving. Now, was this really what Peter was talking about, though? Back in Acts, when we read that Acts account, was Peter really talking about really the point of the food? Well, there was also a greater meaning to that passage. And it was talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, because you remember that when the Jews were around, Peter acted like a Jew. When the Gentiles were around, Peter acted like a Gentile. And he's saying, receive them all. That's really what kind of part of the deeper spiritual matter of what they're saying there in Acts is all about. Receive them all. And this is where I want to go to next, if I put it this way, because in Matthew chapter 4, we read this, verses 1 through 4. Then Jesus said, Jesus being led up by the Spirit to the wilderness, being tempted of the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he has afterward hungered. And when the tempter came and said to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But he answered and said unto him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Man should not live by bread alone. As a matter of fact, there's a time to set aside those things. But the point of the matter is that we're supposed to live by the word of God. And the word of God says this, that all things are okay for us to eat. We live by that. And we live off of the word of God. The Lord talks to us about eating of meat in several times. He talked about it in Hebrews. But I want to wrap up this morning in the interest of time here, guys. So this is what I want to say to you. When he talks about receiving the word of God, the point of the matter is this, is what he's saying is this. Focus, if I can put it this way, focus on the inward man and let God deal with the outward man. God was going to provide for his food, wasn't he? All he had to do was make sure that he stayed faithful to his Lord. But so many of us get that backwards. Things in our life become a priority because, well, I got to put food on the table. Why? Do you not have a God? Now, I'm not saying quit your job or whatever the case may be, but I'm telling you this. Focus on the right thing and let God provide the rest. Focus on, when it comes to your health, focus on creating that godly man and let the outward come out. Let God deal with those things. It's not about the meats we eat or the vegetables we eat. That's not what really makes a man, is it? That makes the flesh, by the way. The more we eat, the more flesh gets created. I mean, isn't that a truth? But the more God we eat, the more Word of God we eat, the more godliness, the more spirit, the more Christ-likeness we get created. And that's what we should be focusing on in our lives. That should be the driving force behind us in every situation. I'll take my son down to our treadmill. Yes, we have a treadmill at home. It holds the clothes. A couple extra boxes. No, I'm just kidding. It's actually empty. But take my son down to the treadmill, force him to work out every day, but never read him the Word of God. Think about that for a minute. I don't do that, by the way. I should start with the Word of God. And then hopefully that will promote a heart in my son that says, I want to take care of this flesh too, so I can live longer and serve God longer and do what I can. And by the way, for those of us who would go like, what do I care if I'm unhealthy and I'm going to die? I'm going to speak to us for a minute here for a second. What do I care if I'm unhealthy and I die young? Absent bodies, present with the Lord. You selfish creature. When are you going to figure out it's not about you? My wife gets up 5:30 in the morning and goes walking. I roll over. Maybe I should get up. Point is this. There are deeper things to the Lord too. You remember in Hebrews, he talks about, when he's talking to the believers there, he says that they should be able to take strong meat, but instead they have need of just milk. I've given you a little bit of strong meat this morning. I'm going to be honest with you. When we talked about marriage, we talked about the sexuality there, forbidding to marry. We talked about how kissing somebody is stealing. That's pretty strong meat. Kissing somebody who's not your spouse is stealing from somebody else. That's pretty strong meat. I talked to you this morning about how we're not supposed to judge each other and what we're eating, but we should focus on the inward man. That's pretty strong meat. And some of you are going to refuse it this morning because you can only take milk. That's what he says in Hebrews. You can only take milk. You turned off your ears the minute I said something that you didn't want to agree with. And by the way, it wasn't me speaking. I took you to the verses, I read them to you. This is God speaking. So you can choose to refuse the meat and not allow it to conform your life so you can continue to satisfy your flesh. Or you can take the meat and be conformed in the image of your Savior. Strong meat. Meat that are deeper things of God. Back to close up our text. You're still in 1 Timothy now. Thinking about the fact that we can be misled and that there are those who would mislead us even in our food, we must remember that we can speak both the physical and the spiritual food of the Lord. And this is why we must, brothers and sisters, become and be so adamant about the Word of God and the Word of life, not allowing anybody to pervert the very foundation of our faith itself, the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he says there in verse 5, "For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." We must be careful not to allow any to come in and tell us and forbid us to marry, to give us false sciences, to tell us, you can't love others until you love yourself. That's the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard in my entire life. You can't love others until you love yourself. I'm going to be honest with you. You will never love yourself enough to begin loving others. You start by loving others, and you're going to find that you're going to be loved. What? I'm being honest, guys. Isn't that what the Lord says? It's not about you first. When he said the greatest two commandments, love yourself the most you possibly can, then God, then your neighbors. Is that what he said? No. He said, love God, love others. And he stopped right there, by the way. You weren't even included in the equation. Get over yourself. So-called science is telling us, I'll be honest with you, I can't stand things like self-esteem. I've never met anybody who needs more self-esteem. Even those who are sitting there and they're acting all depressed and woe with me, and the Eeyore syndrome is what I call it, right? You know, the, I'll be all right, just put my tail back on. Even those people love themselves. Why? Because they're doing that because they want somebody to go, oh, you're so wonderful, don't worry about it. That's what they want. No, focus on don't focus on yourself. Don't esteem yourself. Esteem God and others better than thyself. That's what he says. And then guess what happens? Miracle of miracles. You find joy. You find happiness. Are you kidding me? You mean God knows what he's talking about? And how does all that happen, if I can put it to you this way? You get sanctified by the word of God and prayer. You get sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And it will affect every area of your life, from the physical to the spiritual, hopefully in the reverse order. And then you will find, when he says to us that, in essence, you bless it and you eat it, it brings on a whole new meaning. Do you bless the word of God before you open up and you partake? I know we do. We pray. Before we get into this, we pray, don't we? Lord, this is your word. You teach us. Bless it. Then eat it. And find that you won't. Find that you'll find all the nourishment you actually need for every area of your life right there.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like to have you join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer service for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.